Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
And today we're continuing to talk about Jane Eyre. Particularly, we're talking about the author of Jane Eyre, Charlotte Bronte.
Mm.
I looked this up in the dictionary. It says that some people say Bronte.
But no, I've never heard that.
Yeah, I saw it in the dictionary. I thought that was weird. Most of us just say Bronte. And so stick with that. Charlotte Bronte. And, of course, she's from a literary family, especially her sisters. We're all very good at literature, and one of the other sisters actually wrote Wuthering Heights. Which Bronte sister wrote that? Emily Bronte.
That was a good book too.
Wuthering Heights as well, and there are of course many other novels by these sisters. So if you're into Jane Eyre, hey, check them out. You'll probably love each and every one of them. And as we've said before, this is kind of stuff mainly for women because it's a story of romance and stuff like that. But I don't want to stereotype here. I'm sure lots of men could enjoy these books as well.
Oh, yeah. Let's get going, guys. We're going to read through today's article, and then we'll be back to talk about it.
The author of Jane Eyre, Charlotte Bronte, was born in 1816 in Yorkshire, England. After her mother's death when she was 5, Bronte was raised by her strict aunt. Life was tough for Bronte and her sisters, so they escaped by creating a fictional place they called Angria. They began writing stories, poems, and plays to celebrate the imaginary world. This writing experience provided them with a broader interest in and understanding of literature, preparing them for literary vocations later on. As a young adult, Bronte decided to pursue a career in teaching. She and her sisters Anne and Emily tried to establish their own school, but their endeavor failed. The sisters then agreed they would devote their energies to their first love, writing. At that time, it was difficult for women to gain respect as writers. Therefore, they published a book of poems using male pseudonyms in hopes that literary critics would take their work more seriously. Despite their best efforts, the Bronte sisters' poems received little attention. They then shifted their focus onto novels and soon achieved enormous success. Like before, they all used fake names to hide their true identities. Bronte's second novel, Jane Eyre, became one of her masterpieces. The book, filled with autobiographical elements, drew upon several painful experiences from her early life while she was attending boarding school. Through her writings, she was able to express her true feelings about the dangers of religion and the oppression that women faced at that time. After the book received favorable reception, Bronte chose to reveal her true identity to the public. Although she was critically acclaimed as an extraordinary writer, she had little success with her personal life. Bronte reluctantly married a man she didn't love in 1854. The following year, Bronte died from pneumonia while pregnant.
So today, as we always do in our literature units, we're going to focus our time and attention on the author herself, who is Charlotte Bronte. It's kind of a weird last name with the umlaut over the E. She looks like she originally came from Germany, perhaps. The German language has umlaut, those two little dots above.
Could be. Germany's not very far away. Yeah, could have come from there. Hmm.
So she was born in 1816, a long time ago. In Yorkshire, England, not Yorkshire, which I said when I was growing up because I didn't know how they pronounce it over there, Yorkshire. Yorkshire pudding is very popular, especially at Christmas time, Yorkshire pudding. Mm. I've had it. It's not very good.
Really?
So she was born in 1816, and unfortunately, her mother died when she was quite young. She was only 5 years old. And then she was raised by her strict aunt. Sounds similar to our character Jane Eyre, doesn't it?
It does sound very familiar or similar to the character in the novel.
But there's a difference between the word cruel and strict.
Yeah, what is that difference?
Anyway? Well, cruel, they're actually wanting to hurt somebody. They want to hurt you emotionally and physically. But strict just means they have very tough rules for you, perhaps because they want to keep you safe and protect you. But strict, yeah, there were a lot of strict aunts and parents back then, actually.
Yeah, probably. That's why English people became so great later on. They took over the world and stuff like that. So maybe it has something to do with that. I don't know. But in any case here, she was raised by her strict aunt. It doesn't say she was cruel. It says she was strict, very disciplined. And life was tough for Bronte and her sisters. So they escaped by creating a fictional place they called Angria. Okay, so life was tough. Tough can mean a couple of things. It can mean hard, like if you order a steak at a restaurant, but it's kind of hard, you can say, oh, the meat is so tough, I can't eat it. But here, tough means difficult, especially of a situation. So life was difficult for them. Life was tough because of their strict aunt. Maybe they weren't particularly rich and stuff like that. So they escaped all their troubles and created a fictional place, which they called Angria. Fictional means they just made it up. I don't know if they had a special place to go to, and that's where they wrote their poems and stories and stuff like that, or if it was just in their imagination. Of course, England is also referred to as Anglia sometimes. East Anglia is an area of England, for example. So maybe that's where they came up with this name, Anglia and Angry, kind of put together. Angria.
Kind of fun. So they began writing stories and poems and plays to celebrate their imaginary world. Angria, that is. Imaginary is an adjective. It just means something that you've thought up or created in your own mind. It's not real. It's imagined. Oh, this reminds me, Tom.
Yeah.
I have several clients in Taiwan that say image instead of imagine. I image this. Be careful, guys. Image is a photograph. It's a picture. Imagine is a verb we use to talk about thinking about it, seeing it in our mind. So be careful with the pronunciation. This is imaginary, which means something that's not real, doesn't exist, but you've created it. It's kind of cool.
Yes, imaginary guitar notes and imaginary guitar vocals exist only in the imagination of the imaginer. Okay, I'm quoting somebody there. See if you can guess who said that.
I don't know who said that.
But in any case here, yes, indeed, they're living in their imaginary world. And this writing experience provided them with a broader interest and understanding of literature, preparing them for literary vocations later on. So I could see that. They were getting together, writing things, and each one probably had different ideas about things, and they'd read different books, and they exchanged all these ideas. And as a result, they all were able to enhance their interest in literature, which prepared them for their future careers or their future vocations in literature. So vocation basically just refers to the job that you do, your career. It's more involved than just your job. Maybe my job as a taxi driver could not be described as a vocation unless you do it for your living all your life.
Yeah. So in the next paragraph, we're going to start in on, as a young adult, Bronte decided to pursue a career in teaching. There weren't a lot of things that women could do back then, unfortunately. And for some of our young listeners, we should be grateful these days that we have lots of choices. They had nothing back then. And that was one of the things they could do. I think that was about the only thing they could do. They could be a governess, which is kind of a glorified babysitter, watching other people's children, taking care of them. So she wanted to pursue a career in teaching, so she and her sisters Anne and Emily, we've mentioned Emily, who wrote Wuthering Heights, which is also very romantic, they tried to establish their own school. Wow, that's really a big goal for these three girls to actually try to set up their own school. But unfortunately, their endeavor failed. An endeavor is something you try, you work at to accomplish. We often will say we wish you luck in your future endeavors. And that's a frequent way to end a letter or an email to somebody that you won't see for a while. Oh, wish you luck in your future endeavors. Always make it plural, though, guys. Always put an S on this. So it's something that they tried to do. They had to work hard at it. That's an endeavor.
And it could also be a verb, yes. To endeavor to do something. I could say, I am endeavoring to create a mnemonic memory circuit using stone knives and bear skins.
I don't understand that.
That's another
all.
Quote. You'll have to look that up on the internet. But in any case, yes, here endeavor is being used as a noun. Their endeavor, their attempt, failed, and the sisters then agreed they would devote their energies to their first love, writing. Well, our school failed, so we can always go back home, take out some paper and some pens, and start writing and try to get published.
Mm.
And, of course, at that time, it was difficult for women to gain respect as writers. Okay, so nowadays you see women writers all the time, but
uh-huh.
So back then it was not really something that people encouraged in women, I guess. They were supposed to stay home and take care of their families and stuff. They were quite conservative back in those days. But, yeah, back then it was difficult for them to gain respect as writers. Therefore, they published a book of poems using male pseudonyms in hopes that literary critics would take their work more seriously. Yeah, so they used these male pseudonyms. First of all, let's talk about the word publish here. They published a book, which means they got a publishing company, a book company, to print their book up into many different copies and begin to sell it to the public.
That's right. What's a pseudonym? It's a fake name someone uses. A lot of writers, even nowadays, they will invent a name to write under. I know one author, he has several names because he has different kinds of books he likes to write. And that's also called a pen name, P-E-N, pen name. Pseudonym, of course, is a fake name, though. So they would have to, a lot of women back then who wanted to write would adopt male names to hide the fact that they were female so that the literary critics, who are also men, of course, would take their work seriously. Makes me so sad. I could not have lived back then, Tom. I would have been put in prison for, I don't know, it would be hard for me. This is so not me. I'm like, you're not going to tell me what to do. So they had a hard time getting their work published. If you take something seriously, guys, you look at it and you don't laugh at it. You consider it to be valuable, worthwhile. If you want someone to take you seriously, you have to work hard, not fool around, especially your boss. You want to work hard and, you know, have their impression of you be really positive.
Yes, back in college, I got fired from a job as a pizza delivery man because I could not take the job seriously.
Oh, Tom.
I was supposed to take pizzas someplace, and instead I would just go drive down to the river and eat the pizza that was supposed to be delivered to somebody.
Tom!
I just couldn't take that job seriously. Really? I'm supposed to take this pizza to somebody? That's the silliest thing I've ever heard.
So he's messing around. He's not being
basically,
honest.
Basically, yep. Indeed. But in any case, yes, the critics would not take the works of women seriously. Ah, you're a woman. Go home and
what do you know?
Get in the kitchen and cook dinner.
Yeah.
You can't write. What are you thinking?
Terrible.
Well, despite their best efforts, the Bronte sisters' poems received little attention. So even though they used pseudonyms and even though they endeavored to get these things published.
Endeavor is all I just wanted to mention. It's also another way to say attempt.
Okay,
right.
very good, as a verb. And so, yes, they really tried to get those poems published, and despite, or even though they made these great efforts, their poems still received little attention. Well, they're nice, yeah, but we'll read something
special.
Else. We're not going to spend too much time on these.
Yeah, so they then shifted their focus onto novels and soon achieved enormous success. So that's where they really had their success. If you shift your focus, it just means you change your attention from one thing to another. So they shifted their focus. Notice the preposition is onto, to shift your focus onto something or towards something, you could say. And that's when they really had a lot of success. Or enormous success, as we say here. Like before, they all used fake names. Instead of saying pseudonyms, we're going to use fake names here. Fake means false, not real, not true. Because they wanted to hide their true identities. Your identity is who you are. Your identification cards that we often have to use here to go to the hospital or do different things has our picture and our number that's associated with us, our identities.
Exactly, and of course superheroes do this. They try to conceal or hide their true identities.
True.
And we'll talk some more about that in just a couple of seconds, but right now we're going to take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, 大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest, 我是 Trevor。今天我们要阅读 Unit 14 文学单元的第二天课程。今天的课程介绍《简爱》的作者夏绿蒂·勃朗特的生平及创作过程。文章第一段提到，作者生于西元1816年的英格兰约克郡。在他五岁时，母亲去世之后，他和他的姐妹们被他严厉的阿姨抚养。他们为了躲避严苛的现实生活，因而创造了一个虚构的世界。我们看到这一段的倒数第二行， They began writing stories, poems, and plays to celebrate the imaginary world. 他们开始撰写故事、诗和戏剧来赞扬这个虚构的世界。形容词 imaginary 是指假想的、虚构出来的。例如 The equator is just an imaginary line. It doesn't exist in reality. 赤道只是一条假想的线，并不存在于现实中。和 imaginary 相关的形容词还有 imaginative, I-M-A-G-I-N-A-T-I-V-E, 这是指有想象力的、有创意的。例如 The advertising company always comes up with imaginative ways to promote its clients' products. 这间广告公司总是能够想出有创意的方法来行销客户的产品。另外一个和 imaginary 相关的形容词是 imaginable, I-M-A-G-I-N-A-B-L-E, 这是指想象得到的、可想象的。例如 Kevin is the most suitable candidate imaginable for the job. 凯文是想象得到的最适合这份工作的候选人。文章的第二段提到，勃朗特姐妹们长大后投身于文学创作，并用男性的假名出版了一本诗集，但并不受到重视。后来他们将重心转移到小说，也用假名来隐瞒身份，获得极大的成功。我们看到第二段的第四句， At that time, it was difficult for women to gain respect as writers. 在那个时代，女性身为作家很难得到敬重。 It 在本句是虚主词，代替后面的不定词 to 原形动词，句型为 It is 形容词 for 或 of somebody to 加原形动词，表示某人做某件事是怎么样怎么样的。此句型的形容词若是修饰行为与事物，如 difficult, important, necessary, dangerous 等，其后需搭配介系词 for。 形容词若是修饰人品特质、品性态度，例如 impolite, considerate, kind, generous 等，其后需搭配介系词 of， 例如It is necessary for everyone to show respect for other people's privacy. 每个人都尊重他人的隐私，这是必要的。此句的 necessary 是指尊重隐私这件事情，所以介系词用 for。我们再举个例子。It is impolite of you to ask a lady's age when you met her for the first time. 你向初次见面的女士询问她的年纪是不礼貌的。此句的形容词是指 you， 也就是你本身不礼貌，所以介系词用 of。 我们接着看到第二段第五句的后半部分， In hopes that literary critics would take their work more seriously， 希望文学评论家会因此较认真地看待他们的作品。此句有一个句型 take something 加副词，就是指以某种态度看待某事物，所以 take something seriously 就是指认真看待某事物。如果是 take something easy， 就是指轻松看待某事物。要注意的是 easy 不可以改成 easily， easy 在此做副词用，有轻松的、从容的意思。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
We will now resume our lesson, everybody. Let's take a look at the final paragraph in today's lesson. Remember, again, we're talking about Charlotte Bronte, the author of our featured novel, Jane Eyre. Now, Bronte's second novel, Jane Eyre, became one of her masterpieces. Sorry, folks, I don't quite know what the first novel was, but now we do know the title of her second novel, Jane Eyre, and it became one of her masterpieces. A masterpiece, of course, is a really great work of art or music or whatever by a musician, a writer, an artist, a musician, etc. For example, Beethoven's Fifth is his masterpiece. Da-da-da-da, that's a musical masterpiece. And Jane Eyre is a masterpiece of literature.
It sure is. Well, the book is filled with autobiographical elements. Look at this word, autobiographical. If you see biography, it's about a person's life, right? But if you add auto in front of it, it's about the person's life who's writing it. So you're writing your own story, you could say. So it's got a lot of autobiographical elements. So she's actually using details from her own life in Jane Eyre, which a lot of authors do, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It also drew upon or used several painful experiences from her early life while she was attending boarding school. Remember, she had to go to a boarding school and wasn't very happy, and you see that in the Lowood boarding school of Jane Eyre. If you draw upon something, guys, we use this sometimes just to say we're basing it upon that, or we're using something to create something else. So it's kind of a weird verb phrase, but we use it a lot to draw upon. You draw upon your experience. You draw upon your background, things like that.
Draw upon your knowledge of something, for example. But here, of course, she probably had many painful experiences when she was going to boarding school. The headmaster probably was unnecessarily cruel to her. Mm. Maybe she was bullied by some of the other students there. And these are painful experiences that were never quite resolved, okay? A lot of our painful experiences in life just don't get resolved. People who are mean to us got away with it and never said sorry. But in any case here, she used those experiences as part of her book. And through her writings, she was able to express her true feelings about the dangers of religion and the oppression that women faced at that time. So at the time, she had some feelings about religion, which of course is belief in some kind of superior power or something, a greater power like in God or whatever. At the time, religion was probably very repressive, I suppose.
They used it to punish people back then. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at schoolmaster Mr. Brocklehurst. You know, he was trying to tell these girls, you know, oh, you need to be poor. It makes God happy. Meanwhile, he's actually, he was so awful. I think it's awful. He was using the money that was supposed to help those girls there at the school for himself. So, yeah, a lot of times people use religion to punish or hurt other people. We see that even today with the terrorists. And oppression is when you feel like you're being limited and you're not being allowed the freedom that you need, and you're often treated horribly. So back then, the women, they couldn't work. They weren't allowed to go out and date anybody they wanted, you know. A guy had to come and want to marry them, and if they were poor, they had a poor chance. And if they weren't pretty, they had an even worse chance of getting married. So it was a tough life for women back then. That was oppression. Of course, they had no ability to go to college back then, you know. They could go and they could learn to read and write, but that's about all. So it was tough back then.
It certainly was. Things hopefully have changed a bit.
Yeah.
And after the book received favorable reception, Bronte chose to reveal her true identity to the public. She probably, gotcha, fooled ya. You thought a guy wrote this, but I did. What are you going to do about it? The book did receive favorable reception. Favorable means they thought highly of it. They thought it was pretty good. This is an excellent work of literature. It's worth reading, and we're going to nominate this book for a literature prize or something.
Hopefully,
like that.
Yeah.
Maybe it did win some prizes back then. Reception just means how people reacted to it. They saw this book and they read it. Oh, this is really good. Hey, this is something we could recommend to our friends.
Yeah. You could say it got good reviews, or maybe it was on the bestsellers list. They didn't have those back then, but it did very well. So if you see critically acclaimed, remember, it's not just everybody, you know, the regular people who are writing or reading the book. It's those that write the reviews. So they said she was an extraordinary writer. This word, extraordinary. If you're ordinary, you're like everybody else, right? But if you put extra in front of it, it makes you special. So you're not just ordinary, you're extraordinary. I've heard people say extraordinary, but it's actually pronounced extraordinary. So be careful with that one.
The dictionary does say extraordinary is acceptable, but yeah, most people say extraordinary.
Yeah.
It sounds cooler that way. So she was a very, very special writer, an extraordinary writer, but she had little success with her personal life. So even though she was able to sell novels and make royalties with those books, her personal life seemed to have some problems.
Oh, yeah, darn it. She reluctantly married a man she didn't love in 1854. If you do something reluctantly, you do it, but you really don't want to do it. You wish you didn't have to do it. So she did marry a man who she didn't even love. So I'm not sure what that story's about. I'd like to read her biography and find out. Mm. In the following year after her marriage, she did get pregnant, but she then contracted pneumonia. It's a disease that affects your lungs and you can't breathe. I've had pneumonia. It's pretty bad. But nowadays we have drugs that can cure pneumonia. Back then, they had no antibiotics, and so a lot of people died with pneumonia.
Well, hopefully our antibiotics will continue to work. I've been hearing that they're not working as well as they used to.
Because people are taking too much, and we have super bugs.
And they're not using them properly.
That's
but
another lesson.
Case,
yeah,
that's another lesson we'll have to talk about some other day. But that's it for today. Thank you for listening. It's time now to listen to our Chinese teacher.
文章的最后一段提到夏绿蒂·勃朗特的小说大受欢迎，但他的婚姻生活却不像他的小说一样成功。他在西元1854年不情愿地嫁给一位他不爱的男人。隔年她在怀孕期间死于肺炎。我们看到最后一段的倒数第三句。Although she was critically acclaimed as an extraordinary writer, she had little success with her personal life. 虽然她在评论界被称赞为非凡的作家，她的个人生活却不怎么成功顺遂。形容词 extraordinary 是指不寻常的、非凡的。其他表示非凡的、杰出的常用的形容词还有 phenomenal,P-H-E-N-O-M-E-N-A-L Distinguished D-I-S-T-I-N-G-U-I-S-H-E-D Remarkable R-E-M-A-R-K-A-B-L-E Exceptional E-X-C-E-P-T-I-O-N-A-L 等等例如 This exceptional film is sure to win the Oscar for Best Picture 这部杰出的电影一定会赢得奥斯卡最佳影片奖以上就是今天的课程，我们下次再会。
Thank you everybody for joining us today. It's been a pleasure, and we're going to come back and talk more about Jane Eyre and Charlotte Bronte in our next lesson, so please join us then. From all of us here at English Digest, I am Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.